Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Our good buddy John Rothstein is in studio, as he has been and will be throughout the entire madness. John, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, SI as well, and the College Hoops Today podcast, Leonard Hamilton, and he of Rothsteinisms, the national acclaim that my friend is gaining here. Deadspin doing pieces. Everybody wants him on the show. He's becoming a star.
He is a star. Well, you knew he was going to be a star.
I knew it from the day I told your mom that 15 years ago. Nice. True story.
All right, so let's move on to the Sweet 16 games here. I'm going to start with my squad.
Yeah.
Thursday games. Late as hell, man. 10 p.m. tip-off.
Quit complaining. At least you have a game.
Over by midnight.
Yeah, over by midnight. I got kids, man.
Oh. Right,
so Virginia Oregon.
You don't have a job. We work 3 hours a day.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't have to get up early at all.
Like you sit at the bus stop with everybody else going to a conventional job. Take that back. Just delete what he just said there.
It's just late. I don't want to wait all day for my Cavs to have to play. Virginia played significantly better against Oklahoma. Diakite played significantly better against Oklahoma. And Tony Bennett put him in the starting lineup. Subtle change. I remember we had Tony Bennett on a week or so before the tournament. We asked him about testing different lineups and flipping them around. This one seemed to work. Break this game down. Oregon's a team that most don't know a lot about because they played so poorly for most of the Pac-12 season, but then obviously won the championship in the conference tourney. Tell us Oregon v. Virginia.
February 23rd, Oregon's 15-12 and 6-8 in the Pac-12.
Wow. He's giving you the exact dates here, this guy.
10 games later, they're in the Sweet 16. How did it happen? In the last 10 games, Oregon is holding opponents to 54.2 points per game.
Why? What happened?
Did they change something?
Rhythm and chemistry were never things that were associated with Oregon this season. I know this because I was out in Eugene before the start of the season. Start the season, Lewis King doesn't start. He has a knee injury. He's injured. Then Bol Bol goes out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Then Kenny Wooten breaks his jaw. They never had any time to develop rhythm and to develop chemistry. You've got a point guard caliber Final Four caliber point guard, and Peyton Pritchard was the starting point guard for the Final Four team in 2017. You've got a five-star freshman in Lewis King who's flourishing right now as a small ball four in spurts, the same way Dylan Brooks did 2 years ago when they went to a Final Four. And if there's one player that is really kind of the head of the snake of this defense, it's Kenny Wooten. Kenny Wooten, in two NCAA tournament games, has 11 block shots. Jordan Bell, in Oregon's first three NCAA tournament games in 2017, had four combined block shots. That's the level that Kenny Wooten's playing on right now.
I just keep thinking Tito Wooten. I know, your buddy Tito, from the Giants, right? Some of the stories you told me.
Oh, Tito. Tito was fun.
Tito. Who's the best player? Maybe just mention him in Wooten. That nobody really seems to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's Wooten for sure. I mean, people know about Carson Edwards there in the bottom end of the region of grind. You know, they're going to play Tennessee. But Wooten is a player playing like he's on a trampoline, being able to defend, obviously, at a high level, protecting the front of the rim, but also catch alley-oops like he's a volleyball player. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Jordan Bell in Kenny Wooten. It's one of the reasons why, if you're Virginia right now, you have the most to lose because of what happened last year. You're the one team that I think really needs to exercise the demon.
Aren't they past it, though?
I don't think so. I think to really exercise the demon, you have to at least get to the Final Four. And you look at elsewhere around the bracket, Duke, whether they lose on Friday or not, still going to be Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga got over the hump 2 years ago. They got to a Final Four. They lost in the national title game. North Carolina's North Carolina. Kentucky's still going to be Kentucky. In this NCAA tournament, Virginia is the team that has the most to lose, and I think Virginia is the team that has the most dangerous game of the one seeds. I think Gonzaga has the toughest matchup, but Virginia has been the most vulnerable of the one seeds that we've seen so far, except for Duke, and I think one of the big reasons why is Oregon's playing with house money. Oregon wasn't going to get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. They're not supposed to be here, and they're playing great basketball, and they're playing great defensive basketball. So Virginia has been offensively, pound for pound, inch for inch, the best it's been under Tony Bennett. They are going to need to score to win this week.
Yeah, Kyle Guy's got to start making some shots.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. The the situation at LSU, they seem to have done a really good job of pushing the distractions with Will Wade to the side. It hasn't impacted their play going up against Izzo here Friday night, which and by the way, for those who care, and that's most of us, except I know you don't care, but we don't care that you don't care about point spreads. We do. Michigan State minus -6, in case you were curious, over LSU. Are you surprised LSU's been so...
Shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, shocked. And the full credit goes to the kids in that program for their resiliency and their strength, but this is how close LSU has been to getting knocked out twice. They played Yale and won by 5. Yale goes 8 of 37 from 3, and Mieoni, their NBA prospect, is 2 of 16 from the field. And then you obviously saw what happened against Maryland. It's the resolve of these kids, and Nats who should be getting credit for enduring everything that they went through the season. Remember, their teammate Wade Sims was shot and killed before the season. Then their head coach, Will Wade, isn't allowed to coach in the NCAA tournament and the SEC tournament because he's suspended indefinitely. And this group of men, young men, have found a way to win 2 games in the NCAA tournament. You need to talk about the resiliency of those kids.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. Is there a chance that Will Wade is back next year?
I don't have any information on that right now.
No, not information, like an opinion. Do you think that there's...
There's always... I'm not going to speculate on speculation. I mean, the optics don't look good right now, but... You know, I think we've learned a lot in college basketball since the FBI scandal came out, you know, probably about a year and a half ago, that jumping to conclusions is not a wise thing to do.
Mm. Look at him being all formal. Well, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, what do you mean? What does that mean?
I think people, you know, because they see something on a report saying, well, this job's going to open, that job's going to open, and, you know, a lot of stuff hasn't come to fruition.
I have no idea what LSU's administration's thinking, but it's the fact that he was suspended. You and I talked about this.
Of course,
that
he's suspended. He's not coaching an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I
think the issue is he's refusing to...
Well, he's refusing to talk because he's under federal subpoena. That's where this is tricky, because if you're under federal subpoena... At the advice of his legal counsel, he's being told not to talk.
Yeah. Okay. All right. College Hoops Today, episode 177 with Leonard Hamilton.
177.
That's awesome, dude.
Who's number one, by the way? Cal? Who'd you
have? Bo Ryan.
Oh, cool.
Bo Ryan.
Bo Ryan, right? We've had him on. He's awesome.
It's a great one.
Oh, man.
Anyways, Leonard Hamilton.
Miss Bo Ryan coaching in Wisconsin.
How does Florida State, with their length, beat Gonzaga, playing as well as they are? We talked about it last segment. How does Florida State, because they're disruptive, and they've been playing great as of late. Obviously, they beat Virginia in the ACC semifinals in the conference tourney. They had a game for the half, for at least a half, with Duke in the ACC final. How do they beat Gonzaga?
Well, Teak, you know, it's interesting you said that. It's a great point on your part, because I was talking about this with the Gonzaga staff, you know, in the preseason, because they played Florida State in the Sweet 16 last year. And you got to remember, who didn't play in the Sweet 16 last year? Killian Tilly, who's right now, knock on wood for Gonzaga's sake, should be healthy. Killian Tilly. Anytime you've got a front line like Florida State's that's going to be really tough defensively and getting to the front of the rim, what do you have to do? Go over the top of the defense.
Yeah.
If Tilly now can become a guy that can pop out and go over the top of Cabangeli and Kumaji, you have a different wrinkle than you had last year when you played Florida State and lost in Anaheim and lost in Southern California.
Florida State's not a historically, or this season, good three-point shooting team, but they've been banging them in as of late.
Yeah.
They missed Bobby Soar.
Yes, Bobby Soar. No, I mean, we knew that Florida State was going to be really good defensively. I think they've been better offensively than we thought in this NCAA tournament, but I talked about this earlier today with Leonard Hamilton. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be like Duke, even Virginia, and Carolina, and being able to have a 1, 2, and 3 punch like you. He's got to beat you 1 through 10. Yeah. And that's this
but
Florida
he's got
State
the,
team.
He's got the bench to do it, though. I mean, you
start, no, that's it.
He's like, you look at some of these other teams.
And
you look
thing.
At some of these other teams. Like, Duke went 2-7 deep. They played 7, right?
I don't know.
Florida State can play 10 and be comfortable doing it.
Most college teams play 8 guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the outlier, maybe 8.5 if there's a foul issue. To play 10 and to do it as well as he does is brilliant.
I agree.
That's hard.
It's very hard.
I mean, you can't lose track of anything. I mean, that's a lot of... You know, mental manipulation, and that's a lot to do. All right, John, I know Texas Tech doesn't get the national pub. They don't have the pedigree of a lot of these teams here, but I think the Texas Tech Michigan game has a chance to be, you know,
first of 40 wins.
Oh boy, I was hoping it's a little more like 50, but you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. This could be great though.
What's the over under?
I mean, I think that this could be the best game of the weekend.
126, really 126 and a half.
Look at you. That's low. I mean, that's 63.
I know. That's but you're saying it's going to be like 80. I'm thinking like over it's going to be like 90.
Obviously, you say first to 40. I'm saying, yeah, but I mean, 126, I guarantee that's the lowest over under of the entire of all the
Virginia,
games coming up.
Virginia, Oregon, well, 119.
I didn't see Virginia's.
Yeah.
126 is low. You're in the 60s in college basketball. That's low. Do you think that, would it be, I know it's only a 2-point spread, so I guess it wouldn't be, but would you be really surprised if Michigan does not advance?
Yes.
You would be.
Yes. Because for all intents and purposes, this Michigan team is ahead offensively of this Texas Tech team. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Texas Tech has been a team of role players all year long, playing an elite level defensively. I look at Michigan. I see Iggy Brazdeikis. I see Charles Matthews. I see guys who can make shots with regularity. And I see a situation where you have a scenario where Michigan, I think, has more answers offensively. You have to have answers offensively. But I think the great thing, Brandon, about this Sweet 16 is this. All 16 teams can get to the Final Four.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tegan and I were saying to start the show, this is sometimes, you know, the reward you get for the early price that you pay. When you get a lot of chalk early, you got to sit through some duds, as we all did Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night. I mean, you got some bad games, but now you have 16 teams legitimately that are good, that are really talented.
Well, before we let you go here, John, Cal and Jason Kidd, we talked about it briefly, in inbounds and out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen?
I've been told that, you know, that's not on the top of Cal's list. So that report, I don't think, is at least right now going to, you know, be coinciding with Cal's search as of now.
What'd you do? You broke two things over the Siena. You broke in Tulane.
And we just have, I was just tweeting, is Stony Brook is expected to promote assistant Geno Ford to head coach.
Best tweet while we're on the show.
Yeah. So I'm glad that
we're not boring you to tears here.
You're not boring me. I'm trying to do both jobs.
And talking at the same time, by the way.
Yeah. So Stony Brook's going to promote from within. That's good. That's not a domino. Yeah. And I had Siena promoting also within the assistant Carmen Masciarello and Ron Hunter going from Georgia State to Tulane. So the carousel is starting to spin. And guys, I expect by the next time we talk Thursday, there will be plenty more to dive into.
Maybe a little A&M, maybe a little Vatek news.
We'll got to tune buzz in 4 o'clock. Four o'clock.
A little palpable buzz. We'll see. John, great work, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks, guys. See you Thursday.
You got it. Awesome. He's on top of it. He's hustling. John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Hoops Insider, does the same for SI College Hoops Podcast. It's a good one this week. Leonard Hamilton, as John said a few times, this very well might be Leonard's last chance to get to a Final Four, maybe beyond. So, this is a big spot for him. Yeah. And you know, that's a pretty good hire for Tulane, by the way. Hunter. Remember when Hunter ruptured his Achilles when he was coaching from the
that's
chair?
Right.
I think it was when his son banged in that shot.
That's right.
John, was that what it that's his exactly. son hit the
RJ
three,
Hunter.
Right?
RJ Hunter. RJ Hunter.
And he ruptured his Achilles celebrating. He's coaching from a chair. That's a good hire for Tulane. We'll see. They didn't win a conference game all year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a rough spot, but we'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.